Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in 6 different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Our Savior's Church. We're incredibly excited to have you with us this morning. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Pastor Jacob LeBlanc. You just met my wife, Grace. We are the lead pastors of the New Iberia campus. And today is going to be a great day. Today is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Whether we feel like it or we do not feel like it, we will rejoice and be glad in it because we are putting our faith out there. And sometimes it takes a step of faith before our emotions can catch up. So you showed up here today, maybe with your own agenda, maybe with your own thoughts of what you think church should be. I hope we blow that up today. I hope we blow up your thoughts of church. Because we want to be a place that reflects the heart of God. And sometimes humans mess that up. We want to do the best job that we can to reflect God's heart, but because of hurts, habits, hang-ups that we have, sometimes we don't reflect God, we reflect ourselves. Oh yeah, it's going to be one of them messages today. So today, I want to share with you that you showed up today, and it wasn't an accident, it was on purpose. See, because I serve a God that knows what you're going through right now, knows that there's circumstances that are surrounding your life that he has answers for. See, I serve a God who knows the plans that he has for us that are better than the plans that we have for ourselves, and they're plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us a hope, plans to give us a future. This is what you're here to hear today. You've showed up today for whatever reasons you think, but God has a word for you today. See, we've been in this series called Stuff Jesus Never Said. And we've been talking about different topics that people sometimes seem to misinterpret. If you remember in week one, we talked about how happiness isn't the most important thing, that Jesus doesn't want us to just be happy. He wants us to be holy, and he wants us to be fruitful. And that we said that happiness is just a byproduct of living a life of purpose, on purpose. In week two, we talked about the concept that Jesus never said that people had to look or act a certain way to be able to be a part of this Christian faith that we call Christianity. We said that in order to be welcoming to all people, we had to see that compassion is more attractive than judgment, that God looks at the heart, not the appearance, that our past circumstances don't determine our destiny. And then last week, Pastor Randy came in, kicked us all in the teeth when he came in to talk about prayer. And he talked about the idea that a lot of times in prayer, we're looking for the spectacular when God's already working on the supernatural. See, when we pray, we expect miracles. We expect angels to come down and kill people for us. But in all reality, every time that we pray, something's happening in the supernatural, that all things work together for good. But sometimes we can't always see it. We pray according to the supernatural. Sometimes we get the spectacular. But we pray knowing that the supernatural is taking place constantly. I hope that through this series, you're able to see the real Jesus. Sometimes American Christianity paints this picture of this weak, feeble, just passive Jesus that all he wants to do is hug and everybody's just love and let's just love. No. See, the Jesus I serve was a carpenter, and carpenters were ripped. Like me. Yes, you're right. You're right to think that. but this was the same Jesus that walked into the temple, saw things that shouldn't be going on, and started kicking tables over, poof, punting things. This was, Jesus was not this passive like, oh, I'm just going to let everybody roll over me. No. He stood according to the word of God because the word of God is truth. And anything you say outside of truth has to be tested against truth, which is the word of God. See, we've been talking, our themed scripture for this entire series has been found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. It says this, test all things and hold fast to what is good. I'm very open with y'all. Y'all know that. And anything that comes out of my mouth needs to line up with the word of God. I am a man. I'm a human, which means I will sometimes make mistakes. Well, I'm not perfect. When the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you know who's in that all? Me and you. I know you think you're perfect. My poop don't stink. I'm sorry, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes. We all have done things that have hurt the heart of God. But we have to test all things against the word of God. Even my words will sometimes fall short in the glory of God. Everything I say, I'm expecting you to test against God's word. That's important to me. See, today we're going to take a doctrinal approach to a topic that so many Christians are confused about. How many of you know that there are things in scripture that are black and white? Completely black and white. You can clearly see that when the Bible says do not murder, that's simple. The Bible says do not commit adultery, that's simple. But there are other things in scripture that people can sometimes interpret, I'll say it this way, people can sometimes misinterpret as gray. And today, we're going to clear that up in a specific topic that a lot of Christians seem to not have foundational doctrinal truth on. This message is not going to be a long message today. In fact, today, we might even beat the Baptist to the buffet line. Come on, somebody. It's not going to be a long message. But I believe that it's important for us to have this foundational truth. I was talking with my mom the other day. My mom's been in this church for close to 40 years. And she said, I was having a conversation with somebody at church and things that, it was one of my messages that she was talking about. She was like, I've been knowing that since I was a baby Christian. But this person who just started coming to the church, they didn't know these things. And it got me thinking, I want to make sure that as we grow this church, as God grows this church, we will have new believers coming in. I want to make sure that their foundation is founded in the word, is doctrinal truth, that there can be no gray areas. We're going to talk about black and white Christianity. And what I'm going to talk to you guys today about is probably something that a lot of Christians struggle with, and I want to straighten it out for you. See, this isn't going to be one of the most download messages on iTunes, and it won't grow the church, but it's going to set up some doctrinal foundation that every believer must know. See, today we're going to tackle the idea that Jesus never said everyone makes it to heaven. Uh-oh. But Pastor, isn't everybody going to make it to heaven? Nope. It's becoming more and more clear to me that people in my generation, generations before me, generations even behind me, we have no idea what we believe. No clue. When we hear a good preacher, maybe tickle the ears a little bit, it's like, oh, this feels good. Just because it feels good doesn't mean it's truth. Just because you hear something, it's like, oh, I feel the warm and fuzzies. I feel so motivated. No. Who cares about your motivation? We're talking about life change. We're talking about transformation, not motivation. Motivation can only take you so far, but transformation happens, and it's incredible. See, a lot of people like to talk about their faith. We like to talk about it. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I go on the streets every week, and I go to the lost people where they are, and I tell them all, repent, for the end is near. You're all sinners at the hands of an angry God. You don't understand, I'm preaching truth. You may be preaching truth, but you're not showing God's love. If our purpose is to show people God, then God is love. Let me let that sink in for a little bit. God is truth. God is grace. God is mercy. Absolutely. But if we are to show God, love is an action, not a set of words. You can give knowledge all day long. You want to shout word, you want to shout scripture at somebody. Knowledge will never change anybody's heart. Revelation will. Your revelation of what God has done inside of you speaks louder than any message you could ever preach to somebody. Just because you know a little bit of word, oh, fantastic. How many of your friends and family are going to heaven, though? You can preach all day long, but if you don't show them who God is love. We don't judge people into heaven. We love people into heaven. Questioning whether or not to say this. You know what? I'm going to say it anyway. I actually wrote it down because I said this last service and it wasn't a part of my message, but my wife wrote it down and said, you need to say this again. Here we go. Don't judge others by the sin that you don't struggle with. Their sin might be more public than yours. A lot of times, we like to say, oh, that person, they're living in sin. They're living in homosexuality. Well, they're living in alcoholism. They're living in adultery. Well, they're living in this. They're living in that. But I'm not living with that. Yeah, but you might be struggling with pornography. You might be struggling with anger. You might be struggling with pride. Yeah, those might not surface as the same thing as some of the public sins, but it doesn't mean they're any less dangerous for your life. If we are to show people who God is, we first have to have the revelation of who he is to us. We have to understand that God changed our life, and God didn't change our lives through judgment. He changed our lives through love. Do you remember what it was like whenever you used to live in the world and all you ever felt was condemnation? All you ever felt was guilt for the sins that you were committing. But the moment that you received Jesus into your life, all the sin and condemnation left, and all you were left with was the love of a father. Condemnation and judgment don't lead people to the cross. Love does. It's our job to love people, show them Jesus. St. Francis of Assisi says, this is one of my favorite quotes, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. See, if we don't grasp the fact that the Bible is truth, and not just a list of suggestions. Romans says the wages of sin is death. It's as simple as that. See, I'm real sorry to have to be the one to tell you this, but I believe it's my responsibility to tell you the truth. Good people don't get to heaven. Godly people do. It takes more than walking an old lady across the street or being nice to your little brother, little sister. Even though you've done some nice things in your life, you have to make a decision to follow Christ. You have to come to the realization that not everyone will make it to heaven. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, it says this. You can enter God's kingdom through only the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. Can I tell you something? The path to heaven may not be easy, but it is clear. It's clear. I'm gonna lay out the path for you in three easy steps. Three easy steps to your best life. You can live your best life now. No, I'm gonna stop. Let me stop on that. There's a huge number of people in America that have a certain belief system that I'd like to dispel for a moment. According to a 2005 Newsweek/BeliefNet poll, 8 in 10 Americans, including 68% of evangelicals, believe that more than one faith can be a path to salvation. What that means is that Christians, even Christians, believe that salvation doesn't have just one way. Then why would Jesus say that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me? Oh no, we don't believe in that scripture. Because we want to be inclusive and let everyone be a part of what, oh, Jesus is just love, right? No, Jesus is love, but he's also truth. He has set up a path. The path is clear, but it's not always easy. See, George Barna reported that 64% of Americans agreed with the following statement. Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and others all pray to the same God, even though they don't use the same name. Barna reported that 62% of those surveyed agreed that it doesn't matter what religious faith you follow because all religious faiths teach the same lessons about life. Except the fact that Christianity is the only faith where the God figure comes down in human form to save the people that he's looking to save. No other religion does the God make the sacrifice. It's always the people that make the sacrifice. But in this situation, the God we love and created us enough, loved us enough to create us, came down and risked, gave up his own life so that we can have a relationship with him. No other God did that. Muhammad didn't do that. Buddha didn't do that. Krishna didn't do that. All the gods and the Hindus didn't do that. No, my God loved me enough to send his only son to die for me. That's why it's different. You ask what's different about Christianity, we ain't got to do the work. Glory! We don't have to do it because the price has already been paid by Jesus. He paid the price so we don't have to work. Let me give you some hope though. Heaven isn't an unattainable goal. It's not even hard to understand. You hear people ask, how could a good God send someone to hell? The answer is he doesn't. He provided a way that we literally have to step over Jesus' dead body to have to go to hell. And yes, Jesus is risen from the dead. That's not what I'm saying. But Christ died so that we can be in relationship with him. God doesn't send anyone to hell. In fact, he's the only God that provided a path to be in relationship with him. But here's my thought though. If the only reason you want to go to heaven is because you don't want to go to hell, that motivation's not going to keep you. If all you're saying is, oh, well, I gave my life to Jesus. I became born again so that I can have my fire insurance. I just don't want to go to hell. I just want to go to heaven so I can have the streets of gold and all the food and eat and not get fat. I'll be honest, that's a plus. But if that's your motivation, can I tell you something? Heaven is not the goal. Heaven's not the goal. God's presence is. God's presence is the goal. I don't want to get to heaven because of all the fancy things I'm going to get. I get to go to heaven because that means I get to have a face-to-face with the God that created me. And I don't know if you've ever been in this place where you feel God's presence. I've felt his presence before. And I'll be honest, I want more of that. I don't care where it is. I just want that. Put me in his presence. Put me in his will. Put me around him so that I can feel the warmth of his presence. I can feel the warmth of his embrace to where I can understand what he's speaking to me without this, although good looking, body holding me back. We get to live in the spirit with the Father that created us. Ask Jesus questions just to see what he thought. Jesus, why mosquitoes? Tell me the point. But being able to spend that time with him, heaven is not my goal. God's presence is. I know I can't experience it to the full capacity here on earth. So I am looking forward. If that is my motivation, then my dedication is to him, not to a place. So if being good doesn't get you to heaven, then what does? And I don't know if I've ever preached on this before, but it's a foundational truth. I do this at the end of every single message, but I felt like I wanted to go a little bit deeper. So how do we do this as the ABCs? Number one, how do we get to heaven? First, we accept Jesus. We have to accept him. We have to be born again. I've had people ask me why we pray the same thing at the end of service, and it's really simple. I'll give two scriptures why I believe it's important. Romans 10:9 says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Pretty self-explanatory. When you openly make that decision, that declaration that Jesus is Lord of your life, you can be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Hell is the eternal separation from God where all you hear is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know if any of you've dealt with this, but for the last 9.5 years, I have slept next to a teeth grinder. If you've ever heard the grinding of teeth, it's like it wakes me up at night. And then it wakes me up with like the shivers, like I'm, you know what I feel like? It's the frissons, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, yeah. Like when I hear it, it just makes me want to kick a puppy. Like just, the bad man punted Baxter. But this is what hell is going to be. That feeling, that uncomfortable, that sound, gnashing of teeth. The sound, if you're a parent here and your child gets hurt, really hurt, you know that sound. That death scream. When I was living in Missouri, it was a Wednesday night. We had just finished. What we did was in Missouri, we were the youth pastors, and we preached for the middle school service, and then we preached for the high school service, and we would flop back and forth. So from the first part of the service, I preached to the middle schoolers. Then they went into small groups, and then the high schoolers came in, and I preached to them. So it was the end of the night. I just preached two services. In fact, I've got 4 incident reports on my desk I've got to fill out. Some kid punched a kid, or who knows, a hole in a wall. I don't know. But I'm filling out these incident reports on my desk, and I'm in the back of the building. All of a sudden, I heard it. The scream that I still hear in my mind right now. It was kind of faint at first, but it kept getting louder. It kept getting louder. And then finally, I recognize it. That's my daughter. So I bolt out of my office as fast as I can. I run to the hallway where the kids were. Amelia was probably 3 or 4 years old. I don't remember exactly how old she was. Probably 3 years old. And the nursery worker is holding her in her arms. And she's got blood all dripping down her arm. Blood all over the worker. I'm freaking out. So I grab Amelia. And the nursery worker says, it's her finger. And a little boy, they were in the restroom, it was a little girl was holding the door open, and Amelia's finger was where the door closes on the backside where the hinges are. She was just kind of holding on like that, not paying attention, and the girl just stepped away for a second, and that part of the door closed on the hinge where it is, and her poor little finger was just hanging off. It was the tip of it right here. Blood was everywhere. Y'all, I know you're feeling it in your stomach right now. I know you're feeling that because I still feel it. So we take her to the hospital. When we get to the hospital, they said she needs to go to emergency surgery right now, but we can't do it here. She's got to go to another hospital. So we rushed her 45 minutes away to another hospital. They wrapped it up right there. They did emergency surgery, and we saved her finger, which, praise God. But that wail, that scream, the scream that only a parent knows when it's your child that is in so much pain, they're looking for some type of relief, that will be eternity in hell. You want to know what hell's like? Take the feeling you just felt and have that for the rest of eternity. And I'm not talking about, oh, well, it's going to end. No, it never ends. T. teeth grinding, that wailing sound, this is what hell's going to be like. So if you want to, you want an experience, I did my best to provide a physical experience for you that what hell's going to be like. See, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 that anyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father. Can I tell you, if you're embarrassed of Jesus here on this earth, Jesus will be embarrassed of you when it comes time for you to stand before God. I don't know about you, but that shakes me to my core. The last thing you ever want to hear out of God's mouth is, I never knew you. Sure, you showed up at church and heard messages, but you never made a decision. You never became born again. You came to the building I was at, but you didn't talk to me. See, what you want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Please enter into the kingdom. So when you hear people talking about how religion is for weak people, that God isn't real, remember Matthew chapter 10. But once you've accepted Jesus, it's a whole other thing to believe in him and believe in what he died for you. That's number two, believe in him. More and more people are having a hard time believing in Jesus, and it's hard for me to imagine putting my life on the line for somebody else, much less to sacrifice himself for everyone. But for a moment, can we remember how the Bible describes what Jesus went through? Just for a moment. Just for a moment, remember what he had to go through when one of his best friends betrayed him, just for a little bit of cash. Remember that once his best friend betrayed him, the guards took him from the garden to the high priest's house, and I'm sure on the way they roughed him up a little bit, maybe cracked a rib. We popped out a tooth or two. Then once the high priest said, nope, bring him to somebody else, brought him before Pilate. Pilate said, you know what? I'm going to appease the Jews, and I'm going to let the Roman soldiers rough him up. I'm going to rough Jesus up a little bit. Then we'll put him before the people, and maybe that'll be good enough. Well, the Roman soldiers pulled out something called a cat of nine tails. It was a piece of leather. And there was nine strands on that, the end of this whip. It was a whip. At the end of this whip was bone, were metals, were rocks, were these pieces of shards, glass, and they were all shaped in the shape of a hook. So that when they entered into the skin, it hooked and ripped flesh. Completely ripped open. They hit him 39 times. It was documented that if you hit somebody with that weapon 40 times, they die every time. 39 times they hit Jesus. So imagine the blood he's lost. Going back before Pilate, and the people are still screaming out, kill him. Kill him. As he's walking back to Pilate, they rip out a couple of chunks of his face. Pulled out some of his beard. In fact, the Bible says that as he was walking up the hill to Golgotha, he wasn't even recognizable as a man. Imagine this grotesque, human-looking thing walking up a hill with a cross on their back, barely had any clothes on. Then whenever they get up to go to the cross, the Roman soldiers rip off his clothes and they gamble for him. So here's Jesus, completely nude, in front of everyone, being mocked, being spit on, being humiliated. And he did it for you. See, I would have a hard time dying for anybody. I'll be honest with you. My family, I would do it in a heartbeat. I get that. But it'd be hard for me to do something like that. Yet Jesus did all of that just so that we could respond by saying yes. All we have to do is say yes. 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 Jesus went through. In fact, the Bible even says, and I don't know your theology on this, but whenever the Bible says that he went to hell, I picture it where Jesus went to hell, took the keys of death and the grave, and held it up, said, look what I got. I don't know if Jesus did that. That's just the way I picture it. But when he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, he came back and said, now I've provided everybody a way. And you don't have to work for it at all. All you have to do is receive me. Believe in me. And number three, we have to change. We have to change how we live. See, this is a tough one for us. Because it's one thing to talk a good game, but most people can't back it up. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and restore their land. I don't know if you've ever, I know God doesn't most of the time work in formulas, but this was a promise. I don't know about you, but New Iberia needs some healing. If we want to see the healing that we've been talking about, there's four things we got to do. We got to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to seek God's face. Oh, and here it is. Turn from our wicked ways. I don't know about you, but there's some things in my heart that can sometimes be wicked. Don't look at me in that tone of voice, Snow White. I know y'all got thoughts too. The fact of the matter is, whenever the Bible says all have sinned, we are that all. If you do not consider yourself a part of the all, something might be messed up within, and there is a beautiful hospital with padded walls that we would love to introduce you to. We are all. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we have all made mistakes. We all should humble ourselves. We should all pray. We should all seek God's face, and we should all turn from our wicked ways so that God will heal our land. We need a healing, not just in our community, but we need a healing in our church. It starts with us. We can't show God to somebody if we don't have the revelation of him ourselves. See, we read that verse and we tend to focus on the he'll forgive our sins and heal our land. But we always seem to leave out the turn from your wicked ways part. We talked about holiness a few weeks ago. And being holy means that you're keeping yourself pure and abiding in the word of God. Just because it makes you happy doesn't mean it's right. And in the same way, just because you might do good things, it doesn't mean that you can make it to heaven. It takes a choice. And I'm going to close with this. God has offered us a path to a relationship with him, to experience his presence in his kingdom where he lives and offers promises on top of that. Your story isn't finished being written. If you accept Jesus, believe in Jesus, and change your ways, we can all make it to heaven, but it's all about your choice. Well, how do we do that, Pastor? What do we do? Well, I believe that just like every single one of us have a physical birth, we've all been born. There's also something called born again, which means you are spiritually born. We all have one birth. We're born again, and that's our spiritual birth. But Pastor, how can we be born again? How do we do that? I think it's really as easy as the ABCs I just shared with you. When we can accept Jesus, believe in him, and turn from our wicked ways, change our ways, change our direction. Repent means to admit that we've done something wrong and change our way. You do a 180. I believe we can all be born again. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. Have you been born again? If you'd like to be born again, then I want to ask you in just a moment to lift up your hand just to, look, I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up in front of a bunch of people you don't know. I'm not going to ask you to come down in the front. I'm not doing that. But I would like to ask you to respond today by lifting up your hand on the count of three. And look, nobody's looking around. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. But if you'd like to be born again today on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift it up right now. Thank you. One, two. Thank you. Three. Thank you so much. Thank you four. Thank you. Thank you. Five, six, thank you. You can put your hands down. Church, this is a sign of family. Can we just repeat this prayer together? This is just everybody out loud so that nobody feels uncomfortable. Just say this out loud with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. And I believe that on that cross, you took my sin, you took my shame, you took my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me so that I wouldn't have to go. You rose again on the third day to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. This moment I confess, this moment I believe that I am born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen, amen. Give yourself a round of applause.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.